This week, Kevin Toonan from 98 Gym. You may know him from Instagram at Strength Elite. Kev's a strength and conditioning coach with 10 years experience with athletes, soldiers and coaches alike. You might have heard the word soldier there. The man used to train the SASR. Let's rip in.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want and should know about health, fitness, nutrition and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent or manage any injury, disease or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Whey Ultra, a 100% whey advanced performance protein designed for results. The ultimate in post-workout nutrition, Whey Ultra boasts a 4x whey protein matrix of peptides, isolates and concentrate, is loaded with BCAAs and EAAs, and is rapidly absorbed for maximum recovery and lean muscle growth. It's enhanced with prebiotics, probiotics and 5 digestive enzymes, plus is free from soy, gluten, added sugar, artificial flavors and sweeteners, and every batch is banned substance tested. Everything your body needs for recovery, nothing you don't.
Welcome to the home of Fit, Happy and Healthy. With me, Kevin Toonan from 98 Gym. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good. Had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions about you, and I'm not his fucking manager. How would I know? But we can probably have a chat one day and see what he's been up to. So, mate,
Well, you pulled me off my holiday, so
yeah, sorry about that. Byron's not that good anyway, is it?
It wasn't, no. I just recharged my crystals by the moonlight and cleaned my chakra, did a bit of praying, and here I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, feel much better.
Hopefully you found a few places to find a nice cold beer down there.
I did. I'd actually hit up Stone and Wood pretty hard on the Saturday night.
Yeah. I think we've all hit up Stone and Wood pretty hard in our life at some stage.
I am looking for a beer sponsor.
That'd be a good one to get.
Yeah.
Keep it local. Mate, you're a strength and conditioning coach and you work with some really cool athletes and we'll touch on them soon.
Yeah.
But I want to dig really deep right now into your military background. Like, you've come from a different aspect of training to what your typical S&C guy does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was pretty lucky. I spent almost 20 years in the Army. First 10 or so was within the infantry units. So I was the 3rd Battalion, which was a parachute battalion. I spent time in the reconnaissance and I was a sniper as well. And then from there, I moved into sort of high-performance type of things. I went over to SASR, which is a Special Air Service Regiment in Perth, and they've got a high-performance program over there. So that program basically is a template that you'd see in a sporting club, mm-hmm. However, with a much different type of athlete, I guess we call them. And I never used to like, and I still don't like calling soldiers or you know, the tactical population athletes, because they're not. It's so much harder than just calling them an athlete. But that's the easiest term. So we had a, for lack of a better term, a tactical athlete program put in place. A big reason for that too was we looked like a bunch of sister units from the States. They sort of forward planned, and what they found was that in about a decade or so, this is about 10 years ago, they found that with the injury rates and everything else going on within their unit, that they wouldn't have enough people to actually man their own unit.
Oh, is that right?
Due to injuries and everything else that was going on. So usually what happens is that you come into a unit, a tier one unit like SASR, at the peak of your fitness, at the peak of I guess your physical being, and then due to the selection process, I mean, it's the toughest one in the world, physically tough. And then there's a decline in your physicality, and then there's an increase in your, you know, your cognitive enhancement and everything else in there. So we had, like, we would grow the person in terms of, you know, their intellectual ability and everything else. However, physically, they'd be on the decline. And what we needed to do was try and fix that up. Now, it's not like we can help some of the things that happen to these guys and girls because of the nature of the job. It's basically you're trying to plug holes where you can.
Yep.
So we looked at everything from pre-selection, and the selection is the 3-week course that these guys and girls have to...
Is it like the ones we see on TV?
Oh, no.
Dropped in oceans, carrying
logs. No. There's a big difference, to be honest, between a tier one unit like SASR or the other tier one units around the world. They're looking for a different type of individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, you probably heard it maybe before, but a lot of it's got to do with silent running. So there's no negative or positive feedback on that selection course, which in this day and age, and you know, I guess for, you know, many decades, is quite tough for a person who isn't intrinsically motivated. So someone who hasn't got the motivation from within, but draws it from an external source. So if I told you, you know, if I was yelling at you, like, you can't do this, you don't belong here, blah, 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 that's a form of motivation, be it negative. However, if you're a type of person that draws on that, that can push you further. However, for 3 weeks, if I gave you no feedback about whether you did really well or really, really bad, that usually affects people a whole lot worse.
Yeah, that
so
would.
So they don't know how they're going, and lots of people need to know how they're going. You know, they need a pat on the back. Even if it's negative, you need to push harder, or you know, you're doing really well. We give none of that whatsoever.
So I've seen you standing in the gym during a session, and you've got the stance. Like, I'll give you the credit on that one. How do you, what do you call that? You call that silent?
Silent running.
Silent running. Yeah. So how do you not give away how you think somebody's going during a selection process?
Well, it's fairly easy because your job there is I always think about it like what I'm doing here is I'm trying to select the best individual or help select the best individual for the guys who are already there. So your job is, you know, you're trying to take care of your mates. So you want to, and you also want to make sure that the guy and the guys you're looking at are the best fit, because, you know, that's you're going to place these people next to your mates. Yep. In a future time. So also, you know, it's one of the best organisations to ever be a part of, because it's everyone is self-reliant. So they all take ownership of themselves. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, well, there's not a lot of, you know, like woe is me or like, you know, this is not my fault, it's his fault or whatever. Yeah, everyone's self-aware, and the onus is always on the individual. And the onus should be on the individual, because he or she would want to make themselves better because of the team.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what you want. And that's the difference between that. And physically, that selection course is brutal. Mentally, it's brutal. And
you said 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And is this a group of people that have never been together or come in for...
Yeah, so they're all from different parts of the Defence Force, Army, Navy, Air Force, and they all come on to the same thing. And nothing is hidden from these guys and girls. That's not the thing. It's not like a surprise what happens. The surprise is exactly how hard it is. Now, I always used to say that if you don't have a really good reason for being there, then something's going to happen. You're probably not going to last because it's very, very tough on you. So you need to want that a lot.
So why would someone want to do that?
Well, it's just like, you know, why does someone want to play elite level sport?
Yep.
Because they want to be the best at what they do. These people are in the top 3% of the population in the world. You get to do stuff and see stuff that no one else ever will. You get to test yourself physically, mentally, and you get to put yourself in a position where, you know, you're probably not going to feel that way doing anything else. Easy way for me to explain it, I think, is I got to hang out with my mates for 20 years, mm-hmm. got to shoot some guns, got to blow some stuff up, and all with my mates. Yeah, so that stuff is, it's good. And you're actually serving something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a big, big, like my purpose was, you know, for my mates and for my country. And that's, you know, I think without purpose.
When you joined the army, you joined the army?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you joined the army, did you ever think you'd end up running human performance for...
No, SSR? I had no idea. I literally joined because I didn't like tertiary education.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't sit well with me. I wasn't good enough to go any further with rugby union. Yeah, that was it. Someone asked me the other day about why, and I had a real fear when I was young that I didn't know how to be a man in terms of how would I call myself a man if I've never been tested.
Okay.
And I just thought the army was probably a good place to start. You know, so I've never thought I was physically tested, and never thought I was like really emotionally or mentally tested. So I thought, you know, if I want to call myself a man and belong in society where that's, you know, that's where my place needs to be, I need to go and try find and whether or not I am.
Did you have a mentor around you or a family member that had been in the army to give you
My dad was in the Navy for a little while, you know, so that's nice. We always used to joke about, it was really
army,
nice.
Army, Navy, yeah.
Well, yeah, they, you know, wherever we used to go
there's
to
no
fight.
No clashes there at all, is it?
No, well, there's not. Well, you know, we're a better service. He hasn't listened to podcasts, so it's fine. But he was like, he was huge. I mean, he basically was responsible for, you know, for like who I am today, and taught me how to walk in a crowd, taught me how to hold my shoulders up. He taught me how to look people in the eye. I trained every day. I had the choice every morning. I could either swim or I could run. That was my choice. He got me into martial arts, you know, and then pushed me towards service only because he said it was like one of the best things he ever did. And it was right. It fit me really well. But the human performance stuff really, I thought is very important because it doesn't matter what type of hardware you have, the human's always important. Like, it doesn't matter if you've got the best body armor, the best weapons, the best boots. If the person wearing it isn't good, then the job never gets done.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when you started in the human performance side, was there, obviously the army would have a human performance section, like how technical was it from when you started to when you
we started.
Was it a rapidly moving?
Yeah. And because of the Special Operations Command, we had a lot more scope and a lot more money to play with.
Yep.
Which was very, very lucky. And they also gave us, like, it was a critical part at that point, because we were really looking at humans and hardware and what are we going to do to make sure that we can increase the effectiveness and the combat effectiveness of each unit. So that was very important. And what we did is to go out and we were like, look, let's go and see how the best do it in the world and then come back, formulate a plan. And like anyone who's ever been in a human performance program or, you know, any type of high performance program, it's hit and miss. You know, we made a lot of mistakes at the start. I also was very, very fortunate to have a population that was mentally and physically strong. Yeah. Like I didn't have to worry about the fact that these guys were going to not go hard enough. Our problem was they always went way too hard.
Yep.
You know, and then you've got the side of it where you've got to analyze, you know, a whole bunch of data points or a whole bunch of things first and then decide which one's more important, because it's not like an athlete where you can say, hey, eat here, play here, sleep there, and then train here, and then that template runs across the board for all year. Like we had no idea day in, day out what was going on.
Yep.
And you still don't. Like you could be promised at work that you'll be here for the next 3 weeks and then the next day you could be away for 4 months. That's just the way it is, which makes it a very dynamic working environment. Plus you have to be very, very knowledgeable, because you've got guys you're dealing with that want to know why, and if you can't explain why, then they, like, you lose your status or you lose their respect, which is very important. So we had to be well versed, and we needed to make sure that whatever we did gave the best possible outcome. You know, look, you look at lack of sleep. Well, we know that, you know, these type of units have poor sleep because they operate a lot of the time at night. It's, you know, it's just the way of the job. So we needed to come up with ways to improve sleep performance, like by napping and by putting little things in place about, like, little sleep diaries, wearables that can track that sort of stuff. So you're not going to, like, improve someone's sleep by telling them not to work. You're just saying, hey, these strategies may help you get a little bit more, which then helps your performance and helps your cognitive ability and all the way down the line. You know, things like what helps a guy get fitter, faster and stronger, what's the easiest way to do it with the least amount of, you know, buy-in and with the least amount, the least amount of work on his or her part, because it's all, everything's time sensitive as well. The biggest thing as well is to make it, like, you had to get guys to report injuries as well. You got guys who never wanted to stop going away and never wanting to stop going overseas. So you had to make it, you know, a fairly safe place to say, look, you don't have to stop playing. We just have to manage it a little bit more. And it was also like this type of work hadn't been done before, really. You know, so we're looking at trying to figure out what things work really well from a sport background that we can place on top of this that may work and may not work. And, you know, we had to bury our heads within the science, but also the practical part of things as well. We changed the nutrition around in the mess. We changed the timings of the food. We changed as much as we could to make sure that these guys knew exactly, like, it was the best possible outcome they could get with what we had at the same time.
So they lived a different life to the traditional...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because everything's very, it's a very dynamic. It's like, it's chaotic, but a good chaos. You know, it's not things that tend to not make a big difference to the overall outcome of something tend to get washed away. So, you know, it's like grooming standards aren't a big deal. You know, as long as you do your job, no one really cares. As long as you wear pants to work, everyone's fairly happy. No one cares what color. Those sort of things, you know, where the traditional defense force is very stickler for the rules. And that's fair, because the guys that, like, I got to deal with had come through, quite a hard selection. So we knew that we didn't have to worry about that sort of stuff. Like, lots of things aren't important because it didn't do anything to the bottom line. So why do we worry about it?
Yep.
And also, you can just tell these guys what to do. And as long as it made sense to them, they understood it, they would go and do it. We didn't have to babysit them at all, because you're telling them, hey, this will make you better shooting. This will make you faster. This will make you run quicker from cover to cover, less likely to get a shot. And that's fine. They'll go do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And even better, like, it wasn't, you know, anything to do with their aesthetics or anything like that. It was like, hey, this will make you more effective member of the team. So the buy-in's straight there. We did a lot of work with scientists as well. So I got to put place myself into a whole bunch of different programs, and in terms of Australian sport, and everyone opened their doors, which is really nice. Because we weren't a rival team, or we weren't going to steal something
exactly.
Of their secret sport or whatever it's going to be, everyone opened their doors. So we got to work with AFL, we got to work with ARU, with the NRL, with Cricket Australia, with like Hockey Australia, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah. And then myself and a couple others, we were on the board of the Tactical Strength and Conditioning Association, and that was all to do with the police military, fireys, and the ambulance guys as well. Yeah, because it's shift work, it's a, like it's constantly evolving type of work, and the I guess they're working in a I get a hectic combat environment as well, but just different combat.
Mm. Yeah, crazy. So, mate, you're renowned for
my beard.
Must be a lot of protein going in there.
There is.
With a lot of your programming you're doing at 98 Gym these days, you guys are really after the pursuit of excellence.
Mm.
You know, when you walk in the gym, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I've taken a lot of people in there, they just go, and I took Joel in there the other day, he just walked out and goes, oh man, I know what you're talking about. When I walked in there, I felt it.
Yeah.
So how much of your military background do you believe that 98 has in its DNA?
Well, the programming that's there is pretty much a template from what I used to run at SASR.
Mm-hmm.
We do 3 strength days. We do a dedicated energy system day. And by that, I mean anaerobic or aerobic work on the ergs, like the bike erg or the ski or the rower or the assault bike. And then on the Mondays, we do an interval weight session. It's strength, power, conditioning, and that's it. There's no secret sauce. There's nothing that I do in there that isn't done, I guess, in other places, apart from the fact that all we want is hard work, and that's the way I program it. We've also got, excellent coaches that deliver the program really well. That makes a huge difference. And we've got members that want to get better and they want to get fitter and faster. But the way I design the program is basically templated from what we used to do in the military. And it's the same way that, you ask Chris, almost exactly the same way he used to train when he was playing football. You could look into most teams. It's almost the same as well. Bits and pieces are going to change because their games may change a little bit different, but we always call our Saturday our game day because they're like the members do their big session then. But the programming is, all I'm looking at is I look at the testing that we do every 3 or 4 months, and then from the testing results from our online members and our members inside the gym, I then move forward and work back from those results and rejig the program and go again.
And how's your online program going? It's 98gym.com?
Yeah. It's the same area there. You just go to a link for the online stuff. And the online stuff basically is for the people who can't make it into the gym.
Yeah.
So those that live in a, they might live 20-30K away, or they may live in a different country or state and they want, we got a lot of people asking early on whether or not we could send the program. We could, we're taking screenshots. So we just decided to put it all online. And the way, I guess the way the gym works and the way the online program works is the same thing that a good high performance program is based off. So you've got your 3 pillars of success. You've got your intellectual engagement to help people's cognitive ability grow. Put articles on there. From myself, Chris, Harriet. I've got 2 friends from the military writing as well.
Okay, nice.
So Rusty Witt, who's the strength conditioning coach for the Army College football team in Washington. Another good friend of mine, Danny Cooper, who was my mentor at SASR. He writes for us as well. He's doing a PhD in cognitive enhancement in athletes.
Wow.
So he writes for us. We've got our online library in there. And then we want social engagement as well. So the social aspect, which is we've put together a big discussion board, and on there, you have to sort of see it to believe it, but it's ridiculous. So we've got hundreds of people on there daily commenting, and they read back and forth different people's results, and they're comparing each other. There's a lot of banter on there as well, which is good.
Yep.
And then we want our physical being. So we want the program itself. So you need to be fitter and faster and stronger. And those 3 pillars are what hold up you as a person. So if you underdevelop one or overdevelop one, then your structure is going to be a bit unstable. And that's when we tend to see something happen to someone. So we want social engagement, we want intellectual engagement, and we want that physical aspect of your life as well. And that's why we've designed the online stuff.
And just talking about the pillars and the balance that you're talking about in the individual, back in your days with the Army, how did you cater to a group of people that would have had strengths in certain areas and not in other areas, when it's not really a one-on-one session you guys are pushing, is it?
Yeah. I mean, my days back then were the same as they are now. I'd probably start at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'd finish at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, and there'd be full days. But you're catering towards a different type of need. So some guys might be prepping towards something. Some guys might have come home from something. Some guys might be rehabbing from something as well. So apart from the base level program, we'd have to go in there and shift things around for each individual as well. We had physios attached to us, we had psychologists attached to us, and the psychologists were performance and psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys and girls used to go away and enhance what these guys could do mentally and physically. And also, we were looking always at trying to shorten things down. So what's the quickest possible way we can get someone back to peak physical fitness? What's the quickest way we can enhance someone's shooting ability? What's the quickest way we can get someone's heart rate back to zero? Why do certain things happen, and how can we make this better? That was the whole point of the program, to make these guys more effective at their job or whatever they needed to do. So it was, one of the best working environments I've ever had.
Mm.
And that's what we want to do at 98, I guess, is surround ourselves with like-minded people that want the same sort of thing. You know, whether or not someone who works in the business sector and you want to, become more successful in that area, you still need to be physically fit. You still need to have social engagement. You still need to be intellectually engaged. And you need that intellectual engagement outside of your normal day-to-day stuff. You don't want to go home after, if you're a financial planner and read more stuff on financial planning. You need to go away and learn something else. That's the way your brain grows. That's the way you enhance that ability. Yeah, so the template is basically the same.
And I know you're talking that template down and it's basically the same, but you're actually getting approached by a lot of gyms to implement 98 programming, aren't you?
Yeah. So we've got three so far that we've decided we would we want to partner with and allow them to use the program. We've got a list.
What are they looking for when they come to talk to you?
Well, I guess most as a gym owner, it's a business. Yeah. I mean, lots of people think like they buy a gym or they're into the gym and then they realize very quickly that it's all about they need to manage the gym. And they might have 100 different personalities in there.
Yep.
Very quickly, you can't do the programming. You can't be responsible for training your coaches and upskilling that. And then really the bottom line is your members. So if they're not being delivered a good program and their coaches aren't being upskilled and intellectually engaged and given more training to make sure they're always better as well, your business is going to fail.
Yep.
So basically these guys, like Glenn and Alyssa in Brisbane, who have Project 180, their main focus is their adventure business.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to go climb more big mountains, and Glenn runs trekking all over the world, and they have the gym there as well, and they've got a young coach in there, and she's new, and what she needs is she needs a mentor basically. Yep. And that's what we've done. We've come in over the top side by side as basically a mentoring program, and what they get is exactly what we get in the gym, and we only partner with people we like.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not like we're going to give it out and franchise it or anything like that. It's a case-by-case basis. And it's, again, what we always use, they've got to be good blokes. That's what we want.
Once in a selection process, always in a selection process.
Well, that's the way life is really, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's not unfair to say that. You know.
And how many people would you have had in your HIM Performance division?
We started with like four or five of us.
Yep.
Yeah. And we were like a jack of all trades. We're constantly learning. And then we grew to, I think there was about seven of us at one point.
And then you had all the allied health around you.
Yeah. And then we'd have to you'd sit in there and you'd be talking to doctors and to surgeons and you'd be talking to generals and everything else. I mean, people were very, very interested in what we were doing. And I think they still are. Because, it was around the time when women were getting integrated into combat. A very hot topic politically, as well as like we needed to it was going to happen, so we needed to find a way for it to work.
Yep.
And I'm also like, I'm a big believer in the fact that that's definitely the case. Like, women can serve in combat roles. You just got to find a woman that wants to. You try to find a guy that wants to.
Yep.
It's not a case of like physically women can't do it. It's the case of like you need a person who physically and mentally wants to do it.
Mm. Because I've seen some of the girls at 98 gym training, mate, and I've got to be honest, you'd want to be a fairly fit guy to walk in there and want to jump in one of their teams.
Our girls are really good. They're really good. And I've said it so many times, women are easier to train than guys because they've got less ego. Guys tend to try and muscle their way through before they come to a realization that maybe like physically they haven't got everything they need.
Yep.
So then they have to go back a few steps. Well, women have always, they haven't had as much physicality as a male, so they've got to focus on the technique. They've got to listen a little bit more, and they will listen and focus and apply themselves a little bit easier.
Good students.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
So, mate, you've done the hard yards in the military. You've 98 Gym is highly successful. I mean, it's one of the places that a lot of people talk to me about personally. And, you know, people really want to know a lot about what you do. What's your purpose? Like, what gets you up in the morning?
Yeah, well, like I mean, when I was in the military, I had purpose. Mm. I didn't have to think about it ever because I knew exactly what I was doing. I was walking every day and my job was to make sure that everyone else was fitter, faster and stronger, and we're giving the product that we're delivering was the best one they could,
yep.
we could deliver. Leaving, I struggle with like identifying who I was afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That would be, it'd be same as for an athlete too, wouldn't it? Same type of thing.
Yeah, you just like you lose your support network.
Yeah,
and we're only talking about it with a friend of mine, actually Danny, the other day about we tend to isolate ourselves once we leave, you know, because you identify yourself as a soldier. You identify yourself as like being in the army, and that's a really respectable. And I love that job, and that to me that was everything. And then I had real issues even saying that I wasn't in the army. I would try to figure out a way to make sure that come into conversation because I really didn't have another purpose afterwards. And then it took me a year or two to really understand that my purpose has not really changed, other than the fact now that my population that I'm focusing on is a little bit bigger. So the purpose now for me is exactly that, is to deliver the same type of program, but to as many people as I can, because really I don't think there's anyone out there that shouldn't be fitter and faster, that shouldn't be more socially engaged and aware, and then shouldn't be more intellectually engaged and aware. You can never have enough of those three things. So that's my purpose, is to make sure the gym runs really well in terms of the coaches, in terms of the program, and that we're delivering the best product for the people inside the gym and then for our members online. And then I want as many people to come in and experience the gym itself, but also the online stuff as well. Because I just think there's no one that can't benefit.
Mm.
Yeah. And it goes as far as without a purpose, you tend to attach yourself to anything that feels right at the time.
Yep.
You know, this is why we work with you guys. It just seems to be aligned. You know, we work with two companies, and that's yourself, Body Science, and Concept 2. That's all we've ever let in because... there's no one else that really shares exactly the same vision that we share. You know, we trust your products. Pico's got a nice beard.
He can grow a beard, can't he?
Yeah.
The man can grow a beard.
But, again, everything just works, and that purpose is the same. So, we found it really important to keep coming back. And I think it allows you, when you've got that purpose and you can share it with other people, it allows you to keep coming back to the same question whenever we hit a roadblock as to what we should be doing here. Where do we go from here? We keep coming back to what's our purpose? Where do we need to go? Well, this is our purpose. Does this deal, what we're going to do focus only on this purpose, or are we sort of straying from our path? And that keeps us bringing back to where we need to be. It's why we don't branch out and pretend we're something we're not.
Yeah.
You know, we're a gym, we're coaches, and my job is to be a better coach and to make sure I deliver a really good program. It's not to be anything else.
Yeah, nice. You know? I like that. So, mate, from a purpose perspective, a lot of what you do is a lot of high-end athletes come and chat to you in off-seasons, and, I mean, you see the Burgess boys running through the gym all the time. That's probably more about the coffees afterwards, I'd say.
That's right, yeah.
But you've got, Owen from the All Blacks comes over and
I've been working with Owen for a while now. Again, I met him when we were in Perth, just a chance meeting.
Okay.
And his brother as well. But Owen and I have been working together now for a while, and he's better than ever.
He's a weapon, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I could tell you that it was all my programming and everything was me, but the truth is that
meat heals, mate.
He's just a freak of a human.
Yeah,
easy to coach because he applies himself. He's very, very focused on what he needs to do. To me, he's the consummate professional. He eats well, he sleeps well, he trains hard, and he's got an aggressive mindset towards all that sort of stuff. So to me, he's easy to coach. I mean, we're on the phone every day. He's coming back from injury at the moment, and where he was sort of told that he wasn't going to play international rugby again, and that just pissed him off, and as it did me as well. And so he'll be back soon.
A purpose.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. He just told me this morning that he just PB'd on his fitness test again. You know, he's only getting fitter and faster and stronger, and he said he still wants to play till he's 40. So we've got a few more years left.
Wow.
Through him, I was lucky enough to meet Sakepu Kopu. Mm-hmm. Who's just finished his last games with the Waratahs. He's a Wallaby as well, and he's heading over to London Irish next year to finish off his career. But these two guys, they oppose each other on the field, yet they got a big respect for each other as well. Owen was telling me he's one of the only guys he really enjoys because Kepps has got the same sort of a mindset. Unfortunately, if Owen listens to this, Kepps is probably more athletic as well. he's a beast. But they, we all went out to dinner not too long ago, and we were all sort of asking each other, I'm 40 years old, and I don't want to slow down. I just want to get stronger and fitter and faster. And I was always interested as how these guys, 10 years in international rugby, and then 3 or 4 years plus that behind them in terms of Super Rugby, how do they maintain that passion, and how do they maintain that type of physicality and mentality the whole way through? And when you see these other guys that clearly have more physical ability, but don't last as long, and then they just keeps coming back to professionalism. So their whole purpose and their reason was just to play rugby because they knew it was a gift.
Yeah,
they sleep well, they eat well, they train hard, and there's a big trait there. And actually, the more and more you meet some of these guys, who have an extended career, they're humble. It was sitting in the box when the Crusaders were playing the Waratahs a few months back, and Crocker and Dell was in there as well.
Yep.
And even they were saying, they're like, hey, you just know with the Franks brothers, they're just these really humble guys. I actually thought Crocker the same. He's just a decent guy.
He's a good man, Croc.
Yeah, yeah. And so is Dell. He was just saying the same thing about, he's just the humility they have, even though sometimes these guys come across, a little bit show pony, but they're real professionals. And they're to go cross code like Dell did as well, that's impressive.
Oh, an incredible athlete.
Yeah. But, with Owen and with Kepps, they just train hard, and they're always interested into trying to figure out how they can squeeze another 1% out as opposed to feeling happy about that. We got Craig Wing in the gym at the moment as well, and Wingy's the same, NRL.
Does he still look like he...
He looks fantastic. Yeah. He's bullshit.
I haven't seen him for ages.
Yeah, I know. He still looks like his hair's immaculate. Yeah. And Biffa chums and trains every now and again as well. I'll emphasise every now and again. Craig's the same. He's had an epic career. He played in the World Cup with Japan, under Eddie Jones. And he's come back in. Maybe he had NRL, ARU. He's just one of these guys too that really elongated career. And when you talk to him, he's the same. He's just I spent a lot of time on my conditioning. I spent a lot of time eating well. I slept well. I did everything I should do plus more. And I went out and found more information. These guys just, they really care about, the way they train.
Like you mentioned, 1% is in there and that massive difference that makes. With your programming at 98 Gym, are you running different programming for athletes than you are for the...
Yeah, so they Owen needs something different because he has a specialist type of role. So we know exactly what he needs to do every game. We know through GPS data, I know how much he runs throughout the week. I need to know the position he plays is going to be different. He needs more strength, more power. And we also have to look at how long he's been playing for as well. Physically, the impact of that sort of stuff. And with older players, not that he's old, I think he's only got 31 or something, but being that long, he needs to move every day as well. His body's just used to a high amount of volume. And with, I think lots of people can miss this, but you can overtrain someone, but you can also undertrain someone as well.
Yep.
So if you don't put enough volume and intensity into their week or into their block of training, they can get injured just as easy by under training. So we got to make sure we balance that out for him as well. With him, I've always got to balance out his eagerness to want to train always forever. So our conversations usually rely on hey, have you had a rest day lately? No, not really. Okay, well, today's a rest day. He's all right, I'll have a sauna, I'll do a Normatec. And he's always an active rest day.
Yep.
Yeah, always.
Good listener.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And then it comes down to trust as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another thing that maybe some strength coaches miss is that you've got to have a bond with your athlete because you're asking them to do stuff every single day that physically hurts and mentally hurts. And then you're asking them on a weekend to go get their body and smash it up against someone else's as hard as they can. So if they don't think you care and if they don't think that you're your best interest in mind, then they're not going to go as hard. So he's also got to see too that I practice what I preach.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing worse than that,
Yeah.
even though I'm never going to catch up to him. But I'm trying.
So if you want to see how Owen trains on Insta, it's owen.franks. He does some special stuff on there. He's a machine.
He's a weapon, yeah.
Mate, how do the S&C coaches for these franchises deal with Owen talking to external people?
They're really good. I mean, he's done this for a while now. Yeah. Like there's no conflict of interest or anything like that. I'll get messages through saying, even from Owen himself saying, hey, like the coach here wants me to do a little bit more this week. Can we add some sledding or can we do this please or we'll do whatever? And, you know, I don't mess around with things like I can't see. So I err on the side of if the coach that sees him every day face to face says, oh, can we do a bit more of this? So I'm always going to say yes.
Yeah.
And Owen's very, very aware of what makes him feel good and what doesn't. He's also got, you know, like a decade plus of understanding why he's doing something every day. So we'll chat every single day. But the trend is always he needs to get better. That's the trend, you know. So if he's not getting better, then there's something I'm doing wrong. And thus far, we just seem to be getting better. His brother as well. His brother's Ben, who played, you know, Super Rugby, 2 World Cups. Owen's on his way to his third this year. But you know, they're just consummate professionals.
Yeah.
And all they want is to get fitter and faster and stronger. That's it. They just want to be the best they can be every single day. You know, so it's very hard to go wrong with someone like that. You know, you just you obey the laws of the training principles and biological laws of training, and you listen to what they say, and, you know, you have like a decade or so some experience of messing stuff up. And hopefully now I don't mess too much stuff up.
So, mate, with Owen and yourself, you're both renowned carnivore.
We are. Yeah, it is. We love meat.
And mate, I understand why the man can live the carnivore. His Amazonita restaurant in Christchurch is next level.
Yeah, they've done really well there. But I don't know, what'd you have when you went there? Did you have the
one of those Tomahawks? Yeah.
It's good. It's a good place to eat.
Yeah. So if you're ever in Christchurch in Oxford Terrace, get in there, mate. That's one of the best pieces of meat you'll ever eat.
It is. It's brilliant. You know, I don't know if you saw when they went to South Africa not long ago. It's just that they look like they're eating Brontosaurus burgers or something over there. The steaks they had were amazing.
Yeah.
And Keps were sending me stuff as well. Big, big, big steaks, yeah.
And do you find you cross over with the dietitians and the S&C guys and talk about?
Yeah. Well, see,
because it's a big call for an elite athlete to go, I'm going to live a carnivore lifestyle.
Yeah. He's also very, very aware of like how his body feels. So he'll do something for a while and then like he'll self-assess. Like he'll say, well, like maybe I didn't have enough. Or he listens to everything Harry has to say as well.
Yeah. Someone's got to.
Yeah.
We love you, Harriet.
Sorry, Harriet.
Like those colourful plates.
Yeah. She was saying something once that really resonated with him, and he was like, actually, that makes sense why I've been feeling like this. He'll try everything, and if he feels good and the numbers are going up and he's, you know, like everything else is trending towards something better, then we'll stick with it. As well as like he'll send me stuff all the time. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do that? So I've got to be on the ball all the time. I've got to know why I'm setting out what he does.
Yep.
I've got to have answers for him straight away if he's asked something. And also if I don't know, I've got to be, you know, I've got to have enough humility to say, mate, I'll find out and I'll go and I'll look where I can. Yeah. But I mean, they're like Ben and Owen's dad are probably is got a lot to do with as well. Like you don't raise two boys that are just complete animals and such good work ethics and such nice guys without like that coming from, you know, your family members.
Yeah.
They're just, they're very, very good. Like all they want to do is just play rugby and they have the entire time. So I had Ken stay with me in Perth for a week. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
You're pretty proud dad with your boys hitting that level of elite sport, especially in that little country that just absolutely lives and breathes rugby.
Yeah. They do. It's an excellent. The culture there is quite good. And I think it's like it's why you can't argue with like a culture sets that sort of standard for everything you do. It's the same within the gym at 98. It's the same with like any other successful business. The culture is what sets the standard. And then, you know, people are attracted to that culture and that they'll fit in or they won't. You know? You look at all the successful teams that are around. Like Burge was talking about the culture that's sitting around the Rabbitohs at the moment. You know, it's brilliant. You know what Wayne's done and what the boys are doing at the moment in terms of, you know, their whole purpose is to make sure that they're taking care of their mates. And by taking care of their mates, they're getting stronger, they're getting fitter, they're working harder. It's good to see.
Yeah, it is. Mate, it's good to see them winning too, because my business partner's a mad South man. And
oh, I didn't know.
When South are winning, it's a happy place to work. When South aren't winning, it's not a happy place to work. Yeah, the man loves his rugby league.
Yeah, they're a bit emotional, the South fans.
Yeah, well, apparently it's about the journey they've been through. I don't know. I'm a Titan supporter, mate. I know what it feels like.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm sure there's a winning, I don't know, do you have a winning day, or is it just?
We've had a couple.
Have you? Okay, good.
Looking for the winning culture.
Nice, yeah, yeah.
They got a pretty good day.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at sport in like rugby league in itself, like where it is now compared to 10 years ago as far as, you know, athleticism is.
It's that, and it's also like you don't have to have, you could have your best day and another club can have its best day. And if you got someone a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, or someone's a little bit more freakish in the field, that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tiny percentages that like, again, week after week. And then you speak to the players and it's like there's this feeling behind winning, and it's just like shift, this minor shift left or right. When you're in a winning streak and everything's going really well, like it's so much more mental than it is anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also that, like, where you are, like on the table, like where you play, what days you play, you know, who's attracted to come to a club, how do you recruit? All those things matter.
Mm.
You know, all those things matter. It's why, like, the Western Force was always going to be like doomed, in sense of like they weren't ever going to win something like a Super Rugby final, because they were the most travelled team in the world. You cannot perform again and again and again and again, and therefore the TV rights weren't there, therefore the popularity wasn't there, therefore the money wasn't there, and therefore you're recruiting with what you have.
I was a many year sponsor of that club.
I was a huge fan of their coach, Foley, Michael Foley. I think one of the best coaches getting around.
And
you know, he was part of like a World Cup side, a winning Wallaby side, that, you know, he used to say they used to have perfect practices, that if someone dropped a ball in during training, something went wrong, they were all pissed off. You know, he said that's just that perfection we used to run through again and again and again. And he was a perfectionist, and he is a great coach. He's brilliant.
So, mate, thanks for dropping in. It's always good to talk about your skills, your experience, you know, where training is, what the purpose is. And I love the way you talk a lot about mental toughness when it comes to fitness, because that's something that I think the two go well together.
Yeah, they are. You can't have one without the other. And, I mean, I don't think it's just mental toughness. I think it's just like it's a daily repeatable habit, you know, just simple small things that push you past your comfort zone, because we get too comfortable these days. Everything's made too easy. So I think if you can push yourself into training, push yourself into like out of your comfort zone, and just make things a little bit harder, your body will adapt, your mind will adapt, and everything will flow from there.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You know, at 50, it hurts way more.
Mate, it hurts at 40.
Yeah. So if you want to catch Kev at Strength Elite on Insta, and the guys can always be found at 98gym.com. It is definitely worth having a look at that website.
Awesome.
Game over.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.